You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about the spending bill. What happened in court today? A little bit of foreign policy stuff, declining birth rates, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, before we get to the spending disaster and all the other stuff that took place today in the trial with the Trump stuff, and everything, but we have so much we're going to get to tonight, but we have to do something somber, something we always do on the show. You're used to it by now. We've always done it. We always will do it. We honor the fallen, especially the fallen who die in training or non-combat. We just try to always honor the fallen. That's somebody's life, you know, somebody's son. We lost another one. Naval officer, aviation machinist mate, second class, Ariala Michael Aregbasola. What happened? Well, he's part of the Swamp Foxes. Just know it's a helicopter squadron. It's a naval helicopter squadron. That's who he was. That's what he did. It was not combat. It was in the Red Sea. He went over the side. And I woke up today. My bed was warm. When I finally crawled out of my bed, I got to take my kids to school. Went back, had a cup of coffee with my wife. Nice hot shower, little drive to work. It's a very pleasant, very safe day. There are people out there while I was having my safe day, risking everything. And it's dangerous being on a ship out in the middle of the ocean. And we lost one, and we honor his sacrifice. Rest in peace, warrior. All right? Prayers for his family. All right, now let's move on to the ugly stuff. That was the kind of somber stuff. Let's move on to the ugly stuff. All right, so Joe Biden signed that $1.2 trillion spending package over the weekend. There are things that we've kind of gotten used to, things we shouldn't get used to, but things we've gone through it so many times that now we've gotten used to it, and it's really bad. We shouldn't be used to it. We shouldn't be used to the fact that the government prints these massive bills. No one can even ever give you a straight answer who writes them. Then they'll drop them on the desk of your congressman or senator with like 12 hours before they have to vote. So these 1,000-plus page bills, this was another one, over 1,000 pages, they drop it on the desk of your congressman or your senator. He can't possibly go through it all, read it all. And that's, of course, the point. And then he votes for it because they try to force his hand to vote for it. And then the president, who obviously has never read it, I'm not even sure Joe Biden still can read, he doesn't know what's in it either. He signs another massive spending bill, and on and on and on we go. And this is just, we've just kind of come to accept that this is how our evil, corrupt government runs. And it's not just Democrats. That's the thing. 101 House Republicans voted yes on it. All the leadership ones, Johnson, Stefanik, Emmer, Scalise, of course, all the losers in the Senate, you know them, you know all their names by now, all the GOP losers in the Senate, the McConnell types, the Thune types, the John Cornyn types, of course, they all voted for it. And remember, all these Republicans, it's one thing for the Democrats, it's one thing for the communists to vote on this. The communists want to destroy the country, and they don't frankly really pretend otherwise anymore. That's just kind of what they are. It's the party of grievance, it's the party of malcontents, America sucks, evil, misogynistic, burn the place down. Republicans, what ticks me off the most about them is they pretend to care about this stuff. They love to pretend to care. I want you to watch this little video. And as you watch this video, I want you to keep something right here, right? Not in the back of your mind, in the front of your mind. As you watch this video, every single person on this video just voted for $1.2 trillion in spending, and they don't even know where it's going.
I think around here in the administration, the Biden administration tries to downplay this whole inflation issue like it's a non-issue.
Wages aren't keeping up with inflation as everything is costing more. Americans are making less.
You know who pays the most from Joe Biden's inflation? It's lower and middle income families. They are getting crushed by these higher prices.
We have to bring relief to the American people by reining in federal spending and bringing down inflation.
Yeah, it's our own party. And you know what they're trying to sell us about this bill? This is the best part of it. They did slip a little thing in there in the bill that you can't fly pride flags or Black Lives Matter flags at foreign embassies anymore. And I gotta tell you, that might be the most GOP thing in the history of GOP things. And this, let me lay it out for you. So they're not cutting any spending, but what they are doing is banning something that didn't even exist about 5 years ago and telling you that's a win. There weren't pride flags flying at embassies before. That's just yet another step they took. But we tell them to take a barely half a step back. We'll fund every evil thing you do. Take a little mini half step back, which the Biden White House is probably just going to overturn anyway. And then they'll turn around and tell us, look at these cultural wins, guys. Congratulations. No more tranny flags. Sorry, I don't take the congratulations. And Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, already announced that as soon as they get back from break, they're all on break right now. Praise God. Let's hope they stay that way. They're all on break right now. As soon as they get back, foreign policy time, baby. Ukraine got some cash for you. It's crazy. And I'm so frustrated. I'm so frustrated that no one on our side, forget the Democrats, they're a lost cause. No one in leadership on our side wants to step up and have the hard conversation. We've talked about this before, but it's the best analogy I can come up with on it. As a nation, we've grown addicted to all this deficit spending. And it's like there's this gigantic warehouse and we're throwing the biggest party ever. You name it, you want it, you can get it in there. We got go-karts, the pizza, and it's the indoor gun range. It's the greatest party in the world. And we're just putting it all on a credit card. Everything we do in this warehouse. And nobody wants to be the one. Nobody wants to step in and say, turn the music off. Beep, beep, stop. Start handing out the brooms. Start handing out the paper towels. The party is over. It is time to start cleanup. No one wants to do it. They all just want to keep going. And they're guaranteeing our demise. And so, you know, it was in the news last week that Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and she's calling for Mike Johnson's head now.
I filed the motion to vacate today, but it's more of a warning and a pink slip. I respect our conference. I paid all my dues to my conference. I'm a member in good standing, and I do not wish to inflict pain on our conference and to throw the house in chaos. But this is basically a warning, and it's time for us to go through the process, take our time, and find a new Speaker of the House that will stand with Republicans and our Republican majority instead of standing with the Democrats.
And people ask me what I think about that. Well, we just got rid of a speaker. Oh, wait, now they're going to try and get rid of the new speaker. And I'm going to give you the worst answer in the world. And I hate that I'm going to answer like this, but I'm just being honest with you. I don't care. I don't care. Why would I care? Keep him? Toss him? Get a new one? It's very clear that the institution itself is rotted and broken and corrupt. And it's very clear there aren't enough people on our side within the walls of the institution who want to change that. So keep him, toss him. What difference does it make? All he's done since he's been there is fully fund every evil thing they're doing. I don't care anymore. Isn't that bad? That's bad. That's where I'm at. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We are going to talk to a red state AG about some FBI steps he's taking. Every red state AG should be paying attention to this next segment, what we all can do to fight back against an evil secret state police agency. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Look, we just talked about the spending. They're not going to stop. They're not. No one's going to walk into that warehouse and turn off the music and turn the lights on and stop. They're very clearly just going to keep spending without end until it all comes crashing down on us. So all we can do is get ready. Be ready. Act as if these people are destroying the economy, because they are. Call Oxford Gold Group. That's how you get ready. That's one of the basic ways everyone needs to prepare. You need precious metals in your physical possession. You don't have to go nuts. You don't need gold bars. You don't need a bank vault. You don't have to go crazy. Let Oxford mail some gold coins or silver coins to your front door. Let them also get it in your retirement account as well, as a portion of your retirement, so you don't lose all that when that bubble pops. Give them a call. There's a reason everyone else is. Give them a call. Make some preparations, okay? 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
Maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself right now, who is that wingnut on the television set? What, did they find some college sociology professor? But that's where you would be wrong. That gentleman you just saw is an attorney general. He is the attorney general for the state of Minnesota. That is the state of the law profession in this country. Joining me now, a good one, and Lord knows we are short on those, the AG for the great state of West Virginia, Patrick Morrissey, soon to be governor, I believe, in the state of West Virginia. Okay, that's... Do you sit back ever and watch some of your colleagues, if we're even going to call on them across the country, and just cry for the state of the legal profession in this country?
It's unbelievable. I mean, the woke left has penetrated all forms of our society. And when I start hearing things like that, it's deeply disturbing. But that's why you have to have a number of people stepping up and fighting back against these crazy woke policies. Man, let's think about this for a moment. You're saying that there's a product and that that product goes through, it's meeting a lot of its standards, but it's not just that there are allegations about some defect, right? Or that they lie to the public. They're actually wanting to penalize someone for the criminal behavior of another individual. So, you know, people like to draw analogies all the time, but this is really going further than I've ever seen anyone go before. And look, we try to hold people accountable on the basis of violation of the laws, but to say that when you have someone who's committing a crime like this, that then the manufacturer of the car should be held responsible, I think seems to be a bit absurd.
Where does that leave us economically in this country with the business environment being so hostile in blue areas? And then you have states like West Virginia where it's getting better. It's going to turn these blue states into wastelands. And I'm not a big fan of blue states, but I don't want that either. Is it not just going to drive all business into your waiting arms?
Well, look, I do hope that businesses come to West Virginia, and I want people to know that they're going to be treating fairly. They're going to be treated in a manner consistent with the Constitution and the rule of law. And West Virginia is actually on the rise. I think we have a lot of potential. But I do think we have a challenge in this country, and we need leaders to step up and oppose these woke policies, this DEI. You know, I'm seeing it creeping in every single day. You have folks on the other side who literally want to wipe out the rule of law, and they won't want to take away the netting, the support fabric, if you will, for our Constitution, and go after our churches, our civic groups, our educational institutions, and they want to guarantee outcomes for particular groups of people. That is wrong. That is inconsistent with our Constitution and our laws, and we need people who are not afraid to say that. And that's why I've been very active in the arena, and I'm not going to get pushed around by any of these folks that are looking for guaranteed outcome or try to treat a particular group a little bit more special than someone else.
You're moving on to be governor, but what role do you see red state AGs having going forward? Everyone I talk to in the legal profession tells me your job is going to be the vanguard of protecting the free people of this country.
Look, I think that attorneys general play a pivotal role in terms of the separation of powers in our country to make sure that the federal government doesn't run roughshod over states. I think that's a critical position. But I actually think as governor, a governor can help lead a state forward to combine efforts so that an AG can focus and lead on the legal challenges facing a state. That's very important. A governor can help ensure work with an AG to direct some of those legal efforts, but then also pull together a state's efforts on economic and financial matters, policy, public relations, political, and then the right states can build coalitions of 20 and 25 states together so you can have governors, treasurers, attorneys general, 35 state agencies. All of those combined could lead to the effort to correct this imbalance that you're seeing where the federal government's grown way too big and the woke culture is permeating Washington, D.C. I think the states are the place to be, because if those 25 governors come together and we're able to step up, that could be the fix that we can't see Washington do on its own. And that's part of the reason I decided to run for governor.
The federal government obviously has declared war on energy. I don't have to tell anyone who lives in West Virginia that. They've known that for many, many, many years. Now we have an EPA ruling on tailpipe emissions. Could you talk more about this absurdity and what this does to normal people on the ground?
Yeah, I think that it's a really scary prospect. And Joe Biden has stepped it in again. And this is actually going to be very problematic. I think that if more Americans knew what was going on with the Biden mandatory electric vehicle policy, they would move in droves away from any support for his campaign. And here's basically what they're trying to do. They're looking to do mandated EVs for about 68% of the people by 2032. Now, the recent announcement came back. There may be some delays in terms of the timelines, but they're committed and they're hell-bent to moving in this direction. And here's the problem with that. Imagine that you have a product that some people may like, but is not ready to move from 5 or 6% of the public to 68% in a short period of time. There's no business model for the charging of these cars. Let's start with that, which is kind of an important thing. It doesn't work very well in certain states. Imagine being in West Virginia and the average car is supposed to get up to 200 miles on a charge, but you're in a place like West Virginia that's hilly, or another place, any part of Appalachia or mountainous or hilly areas, and it goes 100 miles. Think about how that won't work. Then go further. At the very time these guys are trying to move everyone to EVs, the Biden administration is trying to eliminate the use of coal-fired power plants and natural gas. None of that works when you try to dramatically increase demand. You can't then go and cut off supply. If you do that, you start to see massive problems economically. And in West Virginia, that would represent a depression, not a recession, a depression. These are just some of the very many problems with the EV mandate. And it's why my office and others, I've stepped up and I'm helped leading to push back against this utter insanity. And I think if just Americans knew a little bit more about this, and the disaster at the border and a couple other issues. I mean, I think Trump's going to win. I actually think he's going to win going away. But these policies are scary. It shows that these guys have no idea what they're doing, and they're actively trying to hurt American consumers.
Could you talk about the action you took with the FBI? This is obviously, sadly, something AGs are going to have to do more and more going forward. The FBI and their DEI hiring policies, what'd you do there?
Absolutely. So just a few weeks ago, we sent a letter to the FBI, which has a large facility in Clarksburg, West Virginia, because we've been hearing more and more about the FBI's effort to advance these so-called DEI policy, diversity and equity and inclusion. And we're worried about it. And here's why. There was properly a Supreme Court decision last year that made it very clear that these racial-based quotas and what Harvard and some other educational institutions were doing were hugely problematic under the Equal Protection Clause of our country. You can't just create these quotas to make up, even if you think you're making up for past wrongs. It's not permissible at all. And having diversity for diversity's sake, or racial quotas just to advance some perceived notions of racial equality, that's not right and it's not permissible. Well, we've been getting a lot of information related to the FBI and their hiring practices, their recruiting practices, and they look to be highly problematic. So we sent a lengthy letter to the FBI asking them questions about their DEI policies, what they mean when they want to be a DEI agency, what they mean when they're trying to, what appears to be meeting certain racial or gender quotas. It just seems to be very, very problematic. So I'm getting the word out across West Virginia and the country. If you see any problematic activities on the part of the FBI in their hiring practices, in their recruiting practices, let our office know. We asked the FBI to answer a series of questions about that, but we want individuals to come forward with potential discrimination. Look, we want to live in a colorblind society. We do not want federal agencies to be compounding problems we see with racial or gender quotas. And that's just not the way our country is supposed to work. So if you find information that's problematic about what the FBI, or quite frankly, what any federal agency is doing, call our office, let us know. Call 304-558-2021. Go to wvago.gov and let us know what you're seeing. Step up, be a whistleblower. We want to fix these problems because this woke culture, these DEI policies, they have no place in America, which has an equal protection clause. Whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you should be all treated the same under the eyes of the law. And AGs and governors are going to make that happen.
I love it. I love it. If you see something, say something. Call the line. Mr. Attorney General, thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. All right. Speaking of all of this trial stuff, there's a big story today. They reduced the fine on Trump in New York. Why is there any fine at all? You know, let's talk to Josh Hammer about that. We'll get the who's who and what's what on all the latest legal news with Hammer next. Before we get to Hammer, let's get to this. Let's get to your timeshare company. Your timeshare company that won't let you out. Do you want out of your timeshare? You ready to be done with it? Hopefully you enjoyed it. Most people move on eventually. The kids leave, you get sick of it, you don't want to pay the annual fees anymore, and you call and you try to get out, and they tell you, no, sorry, you're in for life, but you're not in for life. You're in until you call Lone Star Transfer. They will get you out. They will legally and permanently get you out. They are successful 99% of the time. Just make a phone call. This is a family business. They'll care for you. 844-310-2646. All right? We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a case that could have been brought 3.5 years ago, and now they're fighting over days because they want to try and do it during the election. This is election interference. That's all it is. Election interference. And it's a disgrace. We'll obviously be appealing. On the other decision, it will be my honor to post, and we'll post whatever is necessary, whether it be cash or security or bonds. There's a decision we appreciate and respect the appellate division very much. And we will, I think, do very well in that whole thing. We have a judge who I believe is a crooked judge and a crooked attorney general. Absolutely crooked.
What's your collateral bond?
Cash.
If you're elected, will you pardon yourself?
Okay. Well, I can't tell if we should be happy or sad about today. I don't necessarily understand why everyone's celebrating. Trump had this huge unjust fine that should be zero. Some judge reduced it a bunch. It's still unjust, and everyone acts like this is some kind of win. Whatever, maybe Josh thinks so. I don't know. He'll educate us. Joining me now, host of America on Trial, Josh Hammer. Okay, Josh, two different rulings out of New York today. One with this whole fine thing, the other with Alvin Bragg. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I guess we'll take it one by one, Jesse. So the fraud case was the bigger story to me. I mean, going into today, no one knew what was going to happen. There were a lot of different possibilities. I talked about it on America on Trial this morning, what possibly could have happened. It was possible, Jesse. I mean, the real black pill event was that starting at 12:01 a.m. tomorrow, but technically really in a few hours tonight, it was possible that Tish James was going to start seizing assets. That was an entirely possible outcome as to how the next 24 to 36 hours could possibly play out. So the fact that that is not going to happen, that this bond payment was finally reduced and reduced pretty considerably. I mean, $175 million, Jesse, is still $175 million. That's still a lot of money. But that's a more than 50% reduction from 454. And more importantly, we're not going to have any kind of bank account freezing, any kind of asset seizing for at least 10 days. We'll see whether Trump can produce that cash on hand. The guy's worth a lot of money. He might be able to just pony up that kind of cash on hand without even getting an insurance company or a financial institution to loan him that kind of money. It's entirely possible, to say nothing, of course, of the Truth Social value. He's got $3 billion worth of equity in Truth Social, and they're going to take that thing public. He's got a lockup agreement. We'll see whether the board or the shareholders let him out of that. But I think overall, today is a good day for Donald Trump when it comes to the fraud trial. It's a less good day when it comes to the criminal case, when it comes to this Alvin Bragg case. He was hoping to delay this thing even further. They had just delayed it maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. This thing was set to start today. So today, March 25th, was going to be the day initially where this case is going to begin. That's when jury selection, voir dire, was going to begin today. They just pushed it back till April 15th a few weeks ago. There's this large document dump that came into Alvin Bragg's office from the federal prosecutor's office. See what happened here, Jesse, was the feds in the Southern District of New York, they looked into this exact ad. They were thinking of prosecuting Trump. They decided not to because it's insane. But, you know, Alvin Bragg has no such compunctions. He's a Soros-funded hack. So he took the mantle, and then the SDNY, the feds, dropped a bunch of documents. That's the only reason this got delayed till April 15th. Trump's lawyers tried to delay it further. The judge, Juan Merchant, basically said no. So it's not a great day for Trump in that case. But overall, you're trying to, like, balance these two things out. I'd say overall, it's a better day than a worse day for Trump.
Okay, Josh, there's a lot of money going around here and a lot of money at stake. Can you explain what this means for Republican fundraising in 2024? I understand there's gobs of money from at least one of Trump's PACs that's paying for this stuff. And I realize it's all ridiculous and unjust, but that's a lot of money that's not being spent on TV commercials. How's all this look?
Yeah, so I try to track campaign finance on America on Trial as well, because I too think that this is directly relevant. When Trump is getting fined this amount of money, you know, some of his supporting super PACs, MAGA Inc., a lot of them are subsidizing the legal fees. And every dollar that goes to a Trump lawyer to try to keep this man out of prison is necessarily a dollar that is not being spent in Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and so forth, trying to win this crucial presidential election for Donald Trump against Joe Biden this November. So it's a very, very big deal. And unfortunately, the fact that it's such a big deal is compounded by the fact that when you look at current cash reserves on hand, the RNC is totally, totally paling in comparison right now to the DNC, and the Trump campaign is paling in comparison to the Biden campaign. So, you know, look, Jeffrey Yass is this mega billionaire in Pennsylvania. He's apparently getting cozy with Trump. His Jeffrey Yass's equity stake in TikTok is supposedly the rumor behind Trump's flip on the TikTok issue. So I don't approve of the flip, to be clear. I'm very anti-TikTok, but that is potentially good news as far as just a major cash dump. I saw just this morning, apparently Donald Trump got dinner at Mar-a-Lago Friday evening with Mary Adelson, the widow of Sheldon Adelson. Potentially some good funding news there. But at the end of the day, Jesse, our side, the right needs help. I mean, if Donald Trump's if he's going to get across the finish line this year, it's going to be a slog, and we need the big donors to pony up. The only thing that I will say, and this could be a bit of silver lining and some solace for Donald Trump and his supporters this election cycle. The one bit of solace is that if I'm looking at these two candidates, Jesse, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, they both have 100% name ID. One is the current president of the United States. One's the former president of the United States. Usually when you put money into positive advertising, you're trying to show the voter who you are. Neither of these guys have to do that. The voters all know who they are. So that does, I think, mitigate the need for dollars at a certain level. And I think that is a bit of a silver lining to take away here. But yes, Donald Trump's going to need some money.
Tell us about this Supreme Court abortion pill. What's going on up there?
So big oral argument at the Supreme Court tomorrow. This is it's a really interesting case for a few reasons. It involves the most pervasive abortion pill in America called mifepristone. It's a hard thing to pronounce, to be honest with you. But mifepristone was legalized by the FDA over a series of rulings, most recently in 2016 and 2021. And basically what you had here was you had some pro-life doctors, but two, some people who were actually bodily injured, who were actually harmed by taking the abortion pill. Because, Jesse, this is the kind of thing where they distribute, they can mail it to you. The mailing, by the way, happens to be in violation of an old statute called the Comstock Act, which is an interesting legal argument that we might hear tomorrow. But you had some people challenge the way that this drug was approved and the way that it was mainstream. And there was an outstanding judge in Amarillo, Texas, a guy that I've been personal friends with for years, in the interest of full disclosure, a guy by the name of Matthew Kaczmarek, an outstanding rock-ribbed conservative, who essentially said that the way that the FDA approved this drug was arbitrary and capricious in violation of the Administrative Procedure Act, which is the statute that essentially governs how regulations are promulgated in our modern administrative state. Then the Fifth Circuit, the appellate court that I clerked on a number of years ago, they had a mixed opinion, but it was more favorable than not. The two judges, the majority, largely upheld Judge Kaczmarek's opinion. They partially overturned it. I'm proud to say on a personal note that the judge that I clerked for, Judge Jim Ho, years ago, was the only judge on that panel to fully uphold Judge Kaczmarek's preliminary injunction. He's such a rock-ribbed stalwart, my former boss, Judge Ho. But that is the question that the court is going to be reviewing tomorrow. So it's an interesting question, one from a substantive perspective. The issue of abortion obviously is it's the unholy grail, not the holy grail, but the unholy grail of abortion Supreme Court jurisprudence. People love to talk about it. It's also fascinating from a separation of powers perspective here. This is kind of an Article III federal judiciary versus administrative state battle. I tend to be more anti-administrative state, so from that perspective, I prefer to side with the judges here, which means siding with Matthew Kaczmarek.
That's generally a good route to go. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate you, my friend. All right. Birth rates. Uncomfortable to talk about, but we got to make babies. We'll talk to Tim Carney about that next. Before we talk to Tim, let's talk about your personal safety. Let me ask you something. Just ask him. If you leave your house tonight, run down to the grocery store, and a bad man meets you in the parking lot, are you 100% positive you can stop him from hurting you, from doing whatever he wants to you? Can your daughter, your mom, your father? We live in a world where we're importing criminals now by the million. We have got to take our personal safety more seriously. That's what Byrna is all about. It is a non-lethal pistol launcher. I carry lethal and non-lethal. I love having a non-lethal option. It's legal in all 50 states. They'll mail it right to your front door. No background checks, no nothing. Shoots these pepper balls or tear gas balls or these hard plastic kinetic rounds. Save your life. It'll save the life of the person you love the most. Get a discount. Go get one. Byrna.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know something uncomfortable that we talk about on the show, but honestly, probably not enough, is birth rates. And it gets so uncomfortable because it's personal for people, right? Maybe you have kids, maybe you want more kids, maybe you don't have any and want some, maybe you don't want any of those expensive little snots, but either way, society has to make babies or society goes away. And we're not making babies anymore, and it's a problem. Joining me now, Tim Carney. He has a book out called Family Unfriendly. Tim, explain why you would write a book titled that.
Well, we have falling birth rates, as you mentioned. There's actually fewer children in America today than there was 10 years ago. The number of babies born has gone down basically every year for 15 years. On top of that, we have record high anxiety among children. And so some people think it's all about economics. That explanation doesn't really hold up. Some people think everybody's more selfish now. I think everybody's exactly as selfish as they've been forever. So I'm arguing that our culture is family unfriendly in all sorts of ways. Parenting culture, mating, dating culture, cultural values are deterring people from wanting kids and making it so that people who do want kids don't have them or have fewer of them.
Let's focus on the first group for a moment. We'll get to the second one. Why don't people want kids, Tim? And I understand they are expensive and they are messy, but being a dad's like the best thing I've ever done. It's the greatest thing in the world. And so when my friends or people I know say, oh, I'd hate to have them, I'm flabbergasted by that. Where do people get that from?
I'm with you. Nothing is better than destroying your 9-year-old in one-on-one basketball, and there's no other way you can do that besides being a dad. The millennials and Gen Z, a very sad fact is they have swallowed since they were little kids this idea that humans are actually bad for the planet. So one of the stories I have in Family and Friendly is of a school principal writing an op-ed in the New York Times saying, we have to tell little kids that human children are the problem with the world. Nowadays, a lot of millennials say a reason that they don't want kids is because of climate change. Either they're going to have children in a world that's on fire, or they see children as the cause of the problem. You throw on to that the other guilt that America's a, you know, incurably racist country. So if you have a white baby, you're having a racist. If you have a black baby, he's going to be oppressed his whole life. All of these things make people think that humans were a mistake. I think that's the underappreciated reason that millennials aren't having kids.
Is this a political thing? I know it's not necessarily a political book, but the things you just described, that's a very left-wing way of thinking. Human beings are burning up the planet and whatnot. So are people on the right having enough babies and it's just the commies who aren't reproducing?
Everybody's birth rate is down, but it is liberals, mostly young white liberals, who are more averse to having kids. Something that's happening across the political spectrum, though, is people who do say they would want kids. And polls still say 2.7 kids is the, you know, that's the average that the average American wants, but we're getting about 1.7. So that aspect of it does not really have much of a political difference. But it's certainly true that white liberals are more likely to not want kids, but that has a lot to do with religion. Religious people in America, of all religions, are having more kids. If you go to church on a Sunday, if you celebrate any sort of Sabbath, you are much more likely to have a family, want a bigger family. And that's another part that makes this discussion uncomfortable, is it cuts along some of these culture war lines.
Tim, let's talk about how the other half lives here, the people who maybe can't, or why is that? You hear a lot more of that today than you used to hear. And I'm not saying this is a new phenomenon. I'm certainly not blaming anybody. It's a heartbreaking thing when people want them and can't. But is this a thing that's getting worse?
Well, the one part that I know is getting worse is that increased desire, demand for higher education is pushing marriage to much later. And what they're not getting in this education is education that says, well, no, it doesn't just drop off at 45. Your ability to have kids for a woman starts declining in your 30s. And so you think, okay, well, I'll start a family in my mid-30s and get my 1 or 2 or 2.7. So that part is definitely true, that starting family later, people think that technology can give them the babies, and it's a lot more complicated than they want. So there's lots of other arguments about things. The science on that is still out, but that one aspect, the delay in marriage, is leading to more people just not being able to reproduce.
Yeah, the fertility is what it is, whether it's uncomfortable for people or not. Tim, one thing that I found fascinating, and I would have guessed otherwise, in this day and age, we like to think about modern America as being pretty much Sodom and Gomorrah, but kids today are actually not as, it's a family show, not as physically active as past generations. Lots of times they talk about how they don't, not only do they not meet girls, they don't even want to meet girls. You know, that's what young men will talk about this today. It's such an online world. Is that a problem? I don't even understand that way of thinking.
This is not what we would have anticipated, right? That parents would sit around saying, why aren't the kids getting together and making out enough? But they're not. They're not dating enough. They're not. They're not socializing enough. So the iPhones, the social media apps are clearly a problem. One bartender in Michigan told me, all my friends think they can get from a phone anything they could get from a girlfriend. But then you just take the decreased social skills that happens when you spend your life online, and that plays into it. But the dating apps have had a real interesting bad cultural effect, where a lot of people now think it's wrong to ask someone out in person. They believe that, well, the dating apps, they provide the double secret consent. So if you ask somebody out in person, you're abusing your connection to them, and they haven't consented to being asked out. And that becomes an unwanted advance. So all of these things have broken our dating culture. And that obviously gets in the way of having babies, because there's only one way to have babies, and it involves being together personally with the other person.
You write about the travel team trap. What are you talking about?
So when I was a kid, I played Little League. I rode my bike to the field, and my parents most of the time didn't show up. And the dads were all local. The coaches were all dads. Nowadays, youth sports is much more intensive and expensive. And a lot of parents, I call it a trap, because they don't realize what they're getting into, or they don't think they have a choice. And so they end up, their family culture gets totally destroyed. Their schedule gets dominated by when the coach holds practice. The kids, they have to specialize. They're told at age 12, you got to be playing this game 10 months out of the year. So you should probably quit soccer, forget about summer vacation. You should be on the travel team. And it makes sports into a job. And so I talk about sports, but it happens too, you know, Irish dancing or music, all of these things where they build virtues for kids. They learn they're active. They learn how to win. They learn how to lose. They learn how to be members of a team. Nowadays, it's you're just going to learn how to play shortstop and how to hit a slider. And they forget that these are games, and they turn them into jobs.
You have six kids. Would you recommend against it or for it?
Absolutely, I'd recommend for it. It becomes easier with each one. Not when they're newborn, because when they're newborn, you're older with each one and you're losing sleep. So that part's really tough. But after they start sleeping through the night, it gets easier. They entertain one another. And you don't feel tempted to fall into the travel team trap, because you know you couldn't possibly go to six different tournaments on a given weekend. The more kids you have, if you have them close to each other, they take care of one another. You learn from your mistakes. You learn you don't need all that expensive stuff like the wiper warmer that makes sure when you wipe their butt, it's warm. You don't need all of that. The more kids you have, the more you realize what matters is, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time together. It doesn't have to be doing anything exciting. And you get to spend a lot of time ignoring them while they run around with their siblings.
That's a good point. Let me echo his have them close together. Our two boys close together. It's wonderful. Boys, go away. Go outside. It's fantastic. Tim, thank you so much. The book is Family Unfriendly. Highly recommend you go get it. It is an important thing we need to talk about now. Let's talk about lightening the mood. But before we do that, let's talk about World War I. Well, no, we're not going to do like a segment on it. We did a special on it. It's available right now. You like our history specials? Go to the First TV .com/history, and there are all of our history specials there. You'll probably enjoy that World War I one. It's different. World War I is fascinating. Anyway, lighten the mood. Next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones.
were exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And we thought today, you know, we do enough of this stuff on the show, especially in lighten the mood, where we do someone will fall down or something like that, and we're laughing, ah, ha, ha, they fell down. And you know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. So every now and then, we just want to do something wholesome and good. Let's celebrate a birthday today. Elton John. Elton John turns 77 today. So from us to you, happy birthday, Elton John. Also, who can forget... who can forget when Joe Biden blamed Elton John for, well, here it was.
By the way, it's all his fault that we're spending $6 billion in taxpayer money this month to help AIDS, fight HIV AIDS.
One of my great, sorry. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.